Mira, todo. Hey.
And that's it. If I don't do that, my blood sugar just goes all over the place, and I just get really crabby and happy and pissy.
Puta madre, no me quiero ir a ver la otra vez posible. I'm just like, I wonder how.
Can do a lot of nice things with that. I will come back to that in a minute.
like it was quite good. Thanks. Some of you have seen the 3.4 new feature guide I was trying to do last year, well, half a year ago. That's not very flashy at the first look, and I hope Cam will help me to do it better for 3.5. But I had a lot of nice videos for it. Took a lot of time to figure out how to do them. And here you see a big problem with all this stuff. I did all this in 800 by 600, because that's the only way I can put it on a web page and people with 1024 can at least barely see it. We have to work on that. If you look at all the videos, KDE is not usable anymore with 800 by 600. There's a lot of shape stuff going on here. But you can see, you can show features much better than with screenshots. When you do a screenshot, you have a static image. People look at that static image, and that's it. So they have no idea what's going on. I think everybody saw, I don't know, who did see this feature already? That you can put an image there and nobody are. Well, one person knowing that you can put an image on in an email. No?
No.
Look at it. I don't want to talk about the feature. That's a nice way of showing it, because this feature is just not getting you anywhere. That's why you need a voice command. That's what I realized. You have to command what you're doing. If you're just hitting ENG, select part of it, you can just take one photo. There it is. It's added to the address book as for the contact. That's a little glitch, it should be already there. When you select the mail again, you have the image there. You don't have to use black and white, ugly ones. You can just use any image you have of your friends or your fellow KDE developers. One nice feature explained in a short video, some megabytes, that's it. When you have many people doing that, you get very nice presentations like this one was done by Kwerts. Some of you may know him. And I had a very hard time to convince him to at least somehow stick to the scene, which he did not. He had a different background, he had a different everything. That's a big problem. When you're doing things like this, like a feature guide or something like that, you have to stick to one scene, otherwise it looks just like patchwork. It's not professional. That was lost with never mind. You have to be perfect with something like that. It's flashy, it's nice, people like it, and they recognize every little error. For example, this didn't work on my computer. I had no chance to do this video because my graphics card just sucks. So somebody else had to do it. But yeah, it does not look like the rest of the site. So I hesitated a long time to put it in at all. Okay. What can we use this? Oh, I've been there already. What can we use this? That's not only for a feature guide. Think about documentation. It's much easier to show a video than to do like 3 paragraphs of text and describing your functions. Ever tried that? Yeah, I know you did, but anybody else try to describe how to work with KDE? Yeah, yes, but try to work the Kinderwald handbook. Must have been a challenge. For a developer, it's always a challenge to describe how to use this program. Now you can just
also bound to only architectures which have flash plates. So like PPC doesn't have a flash plate.
Yeah, previously he has a problem and others too. The flash plate is not the perfect solution. And perhaps you've seen there's what's another option in the feature guide to have just a normal IE, like an MPEG or Windows Media Player file or something. You don't have to use flash, but actually after some research I found out that flash is the most used video codec. The video codec most people in the world have installed. And mostly my biggest problem was to convince people using Linux because so people don't have it installed. The rest of the world has it. Just hardcore KDE developers seem to not install flash. So it's more about convincing our own crowd than convincing people outside. But we can use those videos, and we have the video playback in the libs. And together, for example, with the KDEMM multimedia framework, which will be in the libraries, it is possible to just show normal OctiOR videos or something like that. So we can use it for documentation. But we have to make sure we have some kind of text or description or something to go with it. We cannot just expect everybody to use video. That's a lot of work. Nobody denies that. Another nice thing, what Aaron was talking about, having a video like that in a blog just tells a much better story than writing 10, 11, 12 paragraphs of enthusiastic text. Just show what it does. One nice thing which came up when I discussed this with people on KDE Quality Manifest was the Linux Beginner's Guide. And especially for KDE, I think it's a nice thing just to show how things are supposed to work. So, in usability testing, there's already a framework being developed which works differently and for good reasons. But actually, recording videos in usability is nice to just have a look afterwards what the people did. So it's already in use. But already did a talk about that. And I don't have to repeat why it's good in usability. Another thing is prototyping. But that's something you cannot do with live video. That's when scripting comes. I come back to that later. But you can show people what you're seeing. Things should be like, so other people can see in moving pictures what you see, what's going to happen. We have that on the Plasma side. I think it's one of the most downloaded images on the Plasma side. That little video is a tier of menus which just come off. I think it's a GIF animation or something like that, done picture by picture. You can do better, much better than that. And another one is not doing live demos during the presentation. Like, just make a video and let it run. The programs I use, will show three solutions. The programs I use are, for example, mine in C2SPF. We in C2SPF, some people might have seen, and that's what I use for 3.4 feature guide. The person behind it rewrote it in Python to be platform independent and added some very nice features. I already said I decided for Flash because most people have it. But Pinebeam C2SPF has another big advance. For the other solutions, it needs much less resources. You will see that when I show you the other solutions. You can write in a raw format, which only needs lots of hard disk space, but during recording video, you do not recognize that you're actually doing anything. You can edit your videos, you can scroll on single frames, you can add voice, I showed you that. You can add any kind of sound, like some music if you want to, but it has a lot of nice features, almost everything you need. It's only one thing So we have to find some GUI or some framework to do this in a much easier way than I'm going to show right now. Because what you are essentially doing, you repel a little bit, take too long otherwise, is you have a different user just with a clear environment. That's the easiest way to get a clear environment. Set up a new user and do some other tricks to get rid of the distribution specific stuff. And you start a mean C server for this user. And then you find out, for example, our own remote desktop connection program, so you can actually work in the VNC server. And then you just connect to the VNC server with a report. So we just connect with a VNC server and record a raw session. That's a slash T, the T option. And we're not recording directly into it as we have. Then we get a nice little program coming up in a second. Which allows us basically to start and stop the session. We start, put in the password. Now that's a local VNC server, but you could just use an external one, connect over the net. Would be just the same. But if you've been to Kurtz and Fabian's talk, you will know that it will be very slow. So here we are, we can record, we can do some things, and when we're finished, we just stop. That's it. A little bit slower. You can do a test, how it worked out. So just play it, and have a look how it worked. The frames are counted, so you can go frame by frame. There's an edit program for it, command line program, but the edit program for it would take too long to show it. But I can throw out single frames or areas of frames. So I just can cut the video extension. I can concatenate several videos after each other, so I can just record short sessions. Put them together if I want to do a big presentation. One thing which is missing, and which I'm working on with somebody who already offered his help last year, is to have something to add, like subtext, subtitles, flash screens, so I can just put text in without any voice command, because voice commands are hard to do. So sometimes you just want text. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
That's a proprietary format of the Python VNC clear. It is essentially just a VNC screen. I will come back to that now. You see here? Like this short video in 32 megabytes of hard disk space, that's not nice.
It's raw, you have YUV stuff, or? It's raw YUV stuff. Yeah, sure, you can convert it with mPlayer.
Sure, because it also told me it's not possible.
That's really?
It's a special form, it's a special form somehow. I'm not sure, if you tried it, okay.
No.
Just do what's also told me. I did didn't try it, so I have to try it. Say this. If you want to convert it to a normal flash afterwards, because flash, encoding the flash on the fly takes resources, you just have to run a little program and that's it. With the same program, you can cut out frames, you can drop. So you can say, okay, I only need the top 100 pixels to 100 pixels, so you can drop out an area of your screen. You don't have to take all the screen. Something is really hammering my computer at the moment. Normally it's much, much faster. And now you have a flash, but you not only have a flash. Produces a nice little HTML file. See, here's a flash. Here's the HTML, which gives you everything you need to put this video in your own homepage or blog or whatever. It gets a complete HTML you need to do that. Just like that. Since we have multimedia, and it's just video, you know, adding sound. MP3s are still a little bit tricky because they need to be 44.1 separate and so on and so on. It's a little bit tricky at the moment, but so also it is promised me that will change. He's using this Python game library, which is pretty featureful. But the program I'm showing you here is heavy development at the moment. Works fine, stable, but yeah, there's a new version about every 2 weeks, and every time I'm very glad about what he did. Okay. It essentially does everything we need. Any questions?
Yeah. Okay. to me that the step for recording the audio, are you playing back and then sitting with the microphone and speak over? How do you get it synchronized?
That's actually some tricky problems.
That's done by hand.
Yeah. You have to do that. That's why I'm using Audacity. Because you can actually edit your wave very easily. So you can cut it like you need. That's a tricky part about the program not recording on the fly.
To be honest, if you really do this voiceover stuff, you realize that you have to do it about 5 times a piece until you can say it correctly evenly every time for every different piece. So you end up cutting it for the right pieces anyway.
So it's a little bit of context that they can record those things 10 times. So it's not, the voiceover stuff is not easy to do good. And we heard already, you have to do it right. And you have to have somebody who has a good voice. Makes no sense if you're, partying heavy and in the next morning you're trying to do it. Perhaps it's giving you a nice deep voice, but yeah. So you have to make sure you have somebody who knows what he does. You just have to run your. No, the question was if it is possible to record your own screen, Display Zero.
Or another screen in the computer.
That's two different things. I will. You can just run a VNC server for your local desktop, for your desktop. It just has to connect to a VNC server somehow. I just use a different user to have a clear environment. Actually, recording from a remote server with VNC is giving you a very hard performance hit. So that's why I talked to Fabian yesterday. I think NX would be a nice solution for that. To have an NX server standing somewhere and having developers connecting there, having a clean environment, and being able to record their videos there. Because over VNC, it's not very nice.
With VNC stuff, doesn't it most often show it in with JPEG quality? So you really have a quality, you're losing quality, and then recording video in RAW format. I wonder if NX does that? Do you know that?
We had a nice talk, Alex. If you just want to record the client window, you can just use VNC to SVF on your local computer and record the window, or XWCAP or whatever. But the final solution would be like recording on the server, which is planned to be possible, which is worked on. So you can record on the server and have the video on the server already. Things like that. There's not a lot of nice things happening with NX. Fabian told me a lot of nice things which might be very useful. But I think for NX it would be the best solution to have a native KDE client. I know it's a command line interface or something. I love you asking me questions, but yeah. I told some people that my talk will be short, but
with this method can you get the MPEG videos, Windows Media videos formats?
be the future. Actually, I was looking a lot at GStreamer because it is a heavily developed, nice streaming solution, which is going to be to have a lot of nice features. GStreamer can do what we need. It can read directly from the XMHCAT interface. It can encode in almost every format. It cannot be easily used for remote sessions. That's not nice. You essentially have to record the local session with the GStreamer, which is okay if you want to load the video. You want like have videos on the server too. Just put them somewhere, have users recording videos and stuff like that. That will not work this easy. But I think GStreamer, if you want to do a native client, is an important solution we have to look into. It has a nice plugin structure, and actually it was a question like hell when I tried it. It's just not, it's still heavily developed and not finished. Whatever anybody will tell you. And there's one very, very big disadvantage. That's a line you need. That's a line you need. You can do that with the library, but just so the so you can see it and I put it up. It is now recording a video on the fly and put it to Tioro. But you see, it gets very, very slow to the point where the mouse clicks are not recognized in time and all that. That's something you do not want when you record such a video. You want your computer to be responsive and not going down to the RAW. You can record with GStreamer to a RAW format like and encode later. That's possible. Actually, there's no program doing that in Istanbul, which I would love to showcase here, but which in contrast to their claims, is not working with KDE. They especially claim to be compatible with KDE, and that's not true. So I can't show it here. But GStreamer is the solution we have to look into. If it works out, I'm not that sure. I will go directly to the next solution. XWinCap is something I get suggested all the time when I explain what I try to do. XWinCap has a nice GUI. It is a proven solution for years. You can, for example, just click on a window and record that window. But it has the same problem as GStreamer. When you start recording, it slows down a lot. It has a nice little performance view up here. Can you see it's all red? And you see like it's recording one frame every second. You get one frame every second. That's just not usable. When you look at the XWinCap page and see the instructions here, the video is recorded in like 100 to 100 pixel size. And that works fast, for sure. Full screen video with XWinCap, I have no idea how people are doing it. I used my faster desktop and it was still crawling. Either I did something totally wrong and nobody told me how to do it right. I found no reason for it anyway. So it's a very nice program, but it's
see if you can take capture from the screen.
Yep.
I'm not agree. With Phoenix, you can connect to another computer with Phoenix and take this window, and you can full screen at 5-10 frames per second.
What I meant with you cannot capture full screen. It depends on the computer. You have to have a very fast computer. It didn't work on AIM. That's actually the latest XSplit cap, because they also told me that I have to use the latest one. And essentially I got from them, it comes the answer, no, it's not faster. That's it. And when I have 1024 to 768, it really crawls down. I see my mouse pointer moving around and very slowly. It just didn't work.
You need 12 to 15 to be smooth anyway. You need 12 to 15 frames per second to be smooth on a computer.
Within, for example, I have to record full screen video
with
a resolution of 1600
per 1200.
With
XSplit Cam?
Yeah,
which version?
Sorry?
Do you remember which version of XSplit Cam you were using?
Version? I don't remember, but I have the videos on my laptop, for example.
Please, if you can show me which version it is, I'd love to try it, because I used the newest version and it was really performance it, and I got one version back and it got better. Perhaps I just did some weird stuff, I have no idea. But actually there are people recording videos with it, but
okay,
sure. Because XSplit Cam actually was or is a proven solution for years now. I don't know why no distribution is shipping it. I got it, no distribution with a normal package, and I was a little bit disappointed. It is a nice program. Don't get me wrong, it's a nice program, it has a nice GUI, it has nice features, it works. It's just making your computer very slow. And that's something you really do not want. Because it has to be as responsive as possible if you're showcasing your stuff. And the PyBNC stuff was just much faster for me, all the time. Much less performance. But XSplit Cam is a nice program, and I love to use it for like when I just capture one window or something. But when I capture full screen, I have problems. Perhaps it's my background, so something, perhaps you have to have less featured backgrounds, so I have no idea. So it might be a good idea to have computer is nice for recording sessions, editing sessions, which you can replay, and in the meantime you can edit some, or you can like smooth your mouse movements. When you record those videos, you're normally, if you're not recording your actions, just recording the video, you normally do that 5, 6, 7, 8 times because you misclicked, you moved around with the mouse, you were sitting for 3 seconds thinking about what to do next. So you have always to edit the video, or perhaps just script the video. Just let the script running, doing all the actions for you. The KDE executor is just uploading a nice XML file, which you can edit afterwards, and you have a perfect video. And as we got, when you do marketing, make it perfect. Actually, there's a license, but if I'm not totally wrong, the license of KDE executor allows the KDE project to use it. And there were plans for 3.4 at one point with the documentation project of KDE, like Phil and Gori. Are not so over it anymore. They want to get it working that we get automatic screenshots for all the documentation. That's what we wanted to use KDE executor for, but perhaps yes, we can tell more about it. But we want to say also. So I think that's a future tool we can use for doing presentations, demos, like Flash mockup thing. There are 3 nice libraries doing Flash stuff for Linux, OpenLastO, and the Ming library, but nobody did a really convincing front end for doing Flash. And I have no idea why people hate Flash so much for doing things like videos and demos. I hate it for websites because yeah, they are mostly unusable. They're flashy, they look nice, that's the name. Flash. But for doing demos, mockups, prototypes, why not use it for that? Everybody has a flash, or almost everybody has a flash player. You can show people what you want to do. But there's no front end for it. And looking at the current situation, there will not be a front end for a long time. Perhaps somebody feels like, yeah, I want to develop for KDE, and that's a nice thing. Okay, the summary is empty. Because the summary is essentially it is wrong. Just use them. Okay, any questions? No. Nice fluffy animals.
How easy or difficult would it be to set up? You've got all the work in there, you have to fuss around with a lot.
Essentially, I just unpack the package and put it in my pass. That's it. What you need is a full Python install. You need Python and you need the Python game libraries because it uses them for playing the videos. Another thing is the Ming library, but that's installed by every distribution. Most of the time you don't, do not even have to install. It essentially worked out of the box. XBitCap you have to compile, but it brings everything with itself, so it's more or less self-contained. You need GTK for it, for the new